today about identifying and overcoming your dream killers, because if you have a dream, there is something out there. Let me say this. Most people, especially in the 21st century church here in America, they, if we're not careful, we can be lulled into believing that there are not spiritual forces that work against us to try to hinder us or keep us from attaining whatever God has destined for our lives. You and I have to understand that the battle that we are in is not a battle of weaponry such as knives and guns and these type of things, but we are in a spiritual battle. And, you know, the Bible teaches us that we're in a spiritual battle. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You have weaponry at your disposal that you can dispatch the forces of darkness that are trying to keep you from obtaining the dream that God has placed in your heart. The passages of scripture from Jeremiah that for several weeks have been shared into your hearing shows the intent of God's heart for his people, that God is interested in elevating his people. God is interested in bringing his people out so that he can bring them into something. Anytime God brings you up from something, it's because he has somewhere else he wants to take you. Now, I'm not talking about geographical locations and positions, although that could be a part of it. I'm talking about for New Testament believers, there are spiritual places and destinies and things that God has for your life, and there are forces that seek to work against that. So when you read here in Jeremiah, what the writer is historically talking about, what God would do for Israel, this shows the intent of God's heart. God's heart, regardless of what generation you are part of, regardless of what era or time you live in, God's heart is always to establish his people, to elevate his people, and to give his people a quality of life that they had not had before. When you read in Jeremiah the 29th chapter, we always quote that passage of scripture in the 11th verse when the Lord says, I know my thoughts towards you. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil, to do you good, that you might have a future and a hope. God shows his intent right there that whatever your present circumstances and condition is, that's not your permanent address. I have a better address for you. I got a place where I want to take you. And so for Israel, it was coming out of Egypt, coming out of the bondage from being under the bondage of the Egyptians into a promised land that God had for them. And in this promised land, they will have the freedom and the liberty not only to worship God, but to build whatever dreams they had in their hearts, to become everything that they had always wanted to become, but could not become that in the land of Egypt. In the land of Egypt, they were slaves. In the land of Egypt, they couldn't go and come as they wanted to. They were told when to get up, when to go to bed, what to eat, and all this. Their lives were confined and limited to the wishes of the master and the taskmasters that was over them. God said, enough of that. That's not my plans for your life. And so God spoke to a man by the name of Moses. I want you to go down there and bring my people out. Interesting to me that most of the time when you read in the Bible, when God speaks into a better day, a brighter day for his people, their present conditions always seem to be dark, seem to be destitute, seem to be without the life of God. And it seems to contradict what God is saying. And so when Moses goes down there, you got a people all conditioned to slavery, conditioned to all kind of bad thinking, wrong thinking. And God said, this is not your existence that I have planned for you. I've got something better for you. And so I want you to come on out. I'm going to take you to a land where you'll be able to worship me and love me and serve me. I'm going to bring you into a land where you can actually begin to build the dreams you had in your heart. If you wanted to be an engineer, you can be an engineer. If you wanted to be a doctor, you can be a doctor. If you wanted to be a lawyer, you could be a lawyer. Whatever you want it to be now, I'm going to allow you to dream and build your dream. How many dreamers do we have in this place today? You still got a dream? And if you have a dream, there is an enemy that is after your dream. And so there is nothing wrong with dreaming. There is nothing wrong with wanting to be successful. There is nothing wrong with wanting to do something with your life. As a matter of fact, in James, the fourth chapter, when the writer says, what is your life? I like to pick it up in verse 13 because James admonishes them. The believers there, not because they desire to be successful, not because they wanted to do something with their life. He admonished them because they were trying to do it without God. And James said, when you leave God out of the equation, all you got is arrogance and boasting. Because it's all about you now. And it's not about him. And so God is not against people being successful. God is not about people desiring to elevate their lives. God is not against somebody wanting to come out of the hood and live in another, you know, neighborhood. Hey, I can talk like that. I grew up on the wrong side of the tracks, okay? And God is not against you becoming everything that you envision your life becoming. But he wants you to be reminded that you can't do it without him. He wants you to do it in such a manner that he gets the glory and he gets the praise. Attaining your dream is possible. Turn to somebody and tell them you can achieve your dream. Yes, you can. Whatever that dream is, some folks want to travel. Some folks want to, as I said before, they got a certain career field they want to enter into. Some folks want to be a business owner. Some folks want to be a preacher, want to be a pastor, want to be a missionary. Some folks just want to be a homemaker or a domestic engineer, okay? Had to catch myself there. Yeah, I just ain't no stay-at-home wife. I'm a domestic engineer. I like to see you get up and cook and clean and vacuum and wash and get kids off to school and take them to soccer and t-ball practice and piano practices and then keep the man. That's a domestic engineer. You can't put a price on that. I should be getting something from the lady folk right there. See, I'm all up and down your street and you just letting me walk up down your street by myself. That's right. That you got to have an anointing to do all that stuff. Anybody just can't be a good qualified domestic engineer. There's no price. You can't put a value on that. You know what? While I'm on that, let me say this. For you ladies that are domestic engineers and you feel that the higher calling is to be in your home and to train your children and to keep your home and guide your home, don't you ever feel like you've taken a back seat to other careers in this life, okay? I'm not against women in the career field, women working and all of that. You know, my wife does her thing also. But there is this feeling that if a woman is not out there, you know, CEOing or whatever that she might be doing out there, that, you know, she doesn't have value. And that's not true. That's not true. You know, so if you're a domestic engineer, you wear your title proudly. And you do it good. And you husbands, you thank that domestic engineer for engineering the domestic affairs in your castle. All right. But whatever that dream is, whatever it might be, you dream on. You dream on. Because when you dream, you inspire others. It was Dr. Martin Luther King had a dream that would inspire many to seek racial equality and reconciliation. Even to this day, he is still celebrated for the dream he had in America, that there would be racial equality, that there would be racial reconciliation. That was a dream that he had in his heart with passion. And he pursued that dream. And because he pursued that dream, it has inspired many who have come after him along the way and the journey in this great country of ours, of America. It was Rosa Parks who had a dream that said in her heart, I'm not sitting at the back of the bus anymore. I want to be able to have the right to sit anywhere I choose on the bus. And because she had that dream, there were boycotts and shut-ins all over our nation that brought attention to people that, hey, we need to take a closer look at what things and how things are operating in our nation and in our country. It all started with somebody having a dream, and it inspired others to action. It was our President John F. Kennedy that had a dream that one day we'll put man on the moon. You know, that was a huge dream. Nobody had thought that that could even be possible, but he dreamed that it could be possible. And so technology began to be put in place that will put man on the moon. You see, somebody had to dream it. And when you dream it, if you can visualize it, if you can see it, you can achieve it and you can obtain it. It will inspire somebody around you. And this is the problem that Joseph's brothers had with him. Because when Joseph started the dreaming, boy, they didn't like that. You're going to always have some haters. You're going to always have some dream killers that don't want to see your dream come to pass. You're going to always have somebody to think, boy, they think they all let in a bag of chips. Who are they anyway? You know how the haters be. I know it's not how haters be. I'm just making sure you awoke. Genesis, the 49th chapter. Let me get to my message. Genesis, the 49th chapter, verses 22, 23, and 24. Joseph is a fruitful bough, a son or male child, a fruitful son by a well. This is Jacob speaking blessings and prayers over his sons before he dies. He has something specific to say to each one of these sons, from the eldest, Reuben, all the way down to the youngest, Benjamin. Now he's at Joseph. And he begins to speak of Joseph's life. He said, Joseph is a fruitful son by a well. His branches run over the wall. Interesting, the word branches there has to do with his character. And then he goes on to say, the archers have bitterly grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow remained in strength. And the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Jacob is actually saying that Joseph was a dreamer. And Joseph's dream caused some people to shoot arrows at him. Now, not in the literal sense. Joseph was not going around ducking and dodging arrows in that sense. But there were dream killers that was after his dream. There were dream killers that did not want to see the dream materialized. Look with me in Genesis, the 37th chapter, verse 5, 18 through 20. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. Now when they saw him from afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said one to another, look, this dreamer is coming. Turn around to somebody and say, here comes the dreamer. Yeah, I got a dream and I'm on the way. I'm more than what my present circumstances indicate. I got a dream on the inside of me. Here comes this dreamer. Come, therefore, let us now kill him, cast him into some pit. We shall see what will become of his dreams. Let's see if we can snuff out the dream. And the enemy is always trying to suppress your dream, destroy your dream, kill your dream, break your spirit so you won't pursue or go after your dream. What started in your heart as a clear vision, what started in your heart as a clear path toward a certain direction, he wants to cloud that and cause you to give it up. He wants you to pull back and say, you know what? I didn't think that was for me anyhow. And let me remind you that he'll put some dream killers in your path to try to help you to give up on what God has placed in your life and placed in your spirit. And I want to talk to you today about overcoming these dream killers. Don't give in to the dream killers, because if you don't give in to the dream killers, in the end, you're going to step right into the fulfillment of everything God has promised for your life. Now, there are two types of dreams that have a positive and successful outcome on your life. The first one is a dream or a vision that you have for your life. And this is when you have a certain career field that you feel like you want to go into. You want to start a business. You got a certain thing that you want to do. And then there is a prophetic dream, or what I would like to call God giving you a glimpse into the future of what he has for your life. This is what Joseph had. He had a prophetic dream. God literally gave him a glimpse into the future of what his life was going to be like. But both these dreams need keys to help you unlock the way and the path to process the dream in your life. I was working with a couple, not from our church, but a couple from our community. Last year, we started some marital counseling sessions. They was having some problems in their marriage, and someone had referred them to me, and we worked for a while, and during the process of our working together, she mentioned that since she was a child, she always had a dream that she wanted to be, or two dreams, rather. She wanted to be in law enforcement, and she wanted to be a nurse. Now, this was not necessarily a prophetic dream, but this was a dream that she had. And, you know, she came out of a family where, by her own admission, she said, Pastor Simpson, she said, I grew up in the hood. I mean, in the bad place of the hood. She said that she was the first person in her family to go on to pursue formal education. You know, so many other things that were working against her, things that didn't want her to pursue the dream that she had in her heart. And at the time that I was working with them, she was already a part of the law enforcement community by being a deputy, a constable. But at the same time, she was finishing up her degree to become a nurse because that was something that she wanted to do. And it was a lot of sacrifice. It was a lot of late nights and early mornings. It was a lot of just pushing and pressing when you didn't feel like going and you didn't feel like doing. But she had a dream that kept pulling at her. They kept saying, you don't have to stay where you are. You can come up a little higher. You can be what you envision your life to be. And that's some of you here today. Some of you have a dream on the inside of you, and you've had to face some things, and you've dealt with some things, but there's something on the inside of you that keeps pulling you and pushing you and saying, you know, this is not all I'm meant to be. There's something else on the inside of me that tells me I can be more than what I see around me. I can be more than what people see me as right now. God has something more for my life. And there's something on the inside that won't let me rest where I am. I just got to keep reaching higher. I just got to keep going a little farther. And if I have to study more, I'll study more. And if I have to press a little more, I'll press a little more. But I'm going to get to where I see my life can be. I'm going to realize my dream. There's a local pastor in our city, and if I called his name, you would know him. He had a prophetic dream that as a child, he was going to be a preacher. And the church he pastors, probably only next to Lakewood, is one of the largest churches in this city. But he said ever since he was 10 years old, he knew he was going to be a preacher. He knew he was going to be a minister. That was a prophetic dream, God giving him a glimpse into what his future would look like. And after 50 years of successful ministry, just recently celebrated, he's still reaching and still being successful in the thing that God showed for his life when he was just a child. There are some of you here today that God showed you at an early age what your life was going to look like way down the road. And you may not even understood it then when you were young, but as you begin to get older, it began to crystallize and begin to make yourself a little clearer. And then there were things that were working against you. Like this pastor said, where he grew up at over in Fifth Ward, there was nobody that was empowering him necessarily to become everything that he could become. As a matter of fact, there was some that laughed at him and said, yeah, there's that boy preacher. But boy, they look at him now. You see, you might be laughing at the exception of the dream, but when the dream comes to fulfillment, you're not laughing any longer. See, you might be laughing when somebody say, you know, I feel like I'm called to be a missionary over in some foreign distant land, you know, and you they look at your life and say, oh, come on now. And you know, that's the beginning of the dream. But after God finished with you and you know, working with you, and you over there, you're reaching people and establishing churches and establishing schools and feeding the hungry and doing the work for God in these different parts of the world, they're not laughing any longer. When you feel like, hey, you know, I feel like I'm gonna be a businessman. I'm gonna be a financier of the kingdom of God. And at the time, you ain't got two nickels to rub together. But they look at you now. You remember when Mike White gave his testimony several months ago? When he was growing up and he and his mom in a trailer slept on the same little twin side bed. But you look at him now. You see, at the exception of the beginning of the dream, most people don't see what God sees. So you can't be discouraged when others don't see what God is showing you. You see, the dream is not for them, it's for you. You need to see it. You need to visualize it. You need to be convinced of it. And when you are convinced of it, you will go after it. Keys to understanding a prophetic dream, Habakkuk, the second chapter, verses 1, 2, and 3. There are several things that he mentions there that you need to understand when you're trying to process the dream, whether it's a prophetic dream, God-given glimpse into your future, or whether it's a dream for personal achievement and things you want in your life. Number one, you need to meet with God in prayer. Now, prayer, Pastor's been doing that series the last couple of Sundays on pray it. You can't overstate prayer. Anything worth pursuing in life is worth praying about. Let me slow down here a moment for some folk that are single. Some of you are here praying for a husband or a wife. Let me say you're dreaming for a husband or a wife. I'm not trying to steal. Aunt Anthony said something the other son I thought was really funny about their dream and them, these folks want that husband, want that wife. Anything worth pursuing is worth praying about. Don't you get hooked up with that jelly bean just because he's slick looking. I don't care how well creased his slacks are. I don't care how good he smells. I don't care how shiny his shoes is, all that's good, but you better talk to Jesus first. And brother, she might have that figure eight figure. I think it's figure eight, it's whatever. And she might look good, but you better pray about it. Like I heard somebody say, you got what you want, now you don't want what you got. Yeah, you pursued it. You went after it. Now, let me also qualify that by saying if you plan on getting married, you're not going to get married if you don't pursue that girl, if you don't pursue that guy. If you feel like that's the one God has for you, you go get him. Go get you some chocolates, brother. Get you some flowers. You know, take her over to Papa's or Papa Cedar's. Feed her every now and then. Let her know you're interested in her. That's right. I had to pursue mine. I pulled up in that two-door white Opel Rekord with a gear shift on the steering column that I paid a whole $700 for. But I was cooler than a northern breeze. Some of you brothers need a class or two. Give them some of them Gilbert Trahan classes. Amen. Oh, Jesus, help me this morning. Let me move on. Talk to God about it. Meet with God in prayer regularly. Pray about it. Look for God. He said, I will watch to see. Set your sights upward toward God. Minimize or eliminate the distractions in your life that keep you looking everywhere but toward God and looking up. Not only that, listen for the word of God. Let the word of God speak to you. He went on to say, he will say to me. In order to hear God's voice, you often need to shut out the noise of the world. Then he says, write the vision. Write it down. You heard the old saying, whatever gets written down, gets done. Write it down. Make it plain. And then he says, and this is hard for most of us, wait for it. We want it to happen now. We live in a microwave generation. We want it yesterday. We want the fast food to be fast. We're just like that. We get in the fast food line, and if they take longer than 30 seconds, it's not fast any longer. We're too quick. I'm going to tell you, God works with a crock pot. He's a slow cooker. So you can go ahead and demand and scream and holler and fuss with God and do all that, but God's still going to work on his timetable because the vision is for an appointed time. And this is where maturity is needed to understand that some things in life don't come just like that, but there is a process of being patient and waiting, because oftentimes God is working on our character, and God's got to move a few things out over here and move a few things out over there. So when you get where you're supposed to be, everything is set up the way it's supposed to be set up, and it'll work for the glory of God. Some of us are trying to press our way and push our way and kick doors in that God is saying, you need to wait a little bit. I got to move some people out so you can move in. I got to move some things over so you can come in. Just be patient. Trust the Lord. And this is why waiting on God requires trust. And if you do that, you'll be encouraged, because the writer said it will surely come. Turn around to someone and tell them your dream's coming. Wait on it. Write it down, listen for it, look for it, and pray on it. Let me once again say, because I want you to understand, the enemy is after your dream, because if he takes material things from you, you can get that back. But if he takes your dream, he destroys your life. People that start dreaming, life is not worth a whole lot anymore. They're not pleasant to be around. They don't enjoy living. When somebody don't have something that they're reaching for and striving for, you can look at their life and say, boy, that person there is just ready for the grave. So I want to say to every person that put one of those dream requests in one of these little prayer houses, if you was one of those persons that wrote down that request, you put your dream in one of these prayer houses to be prayed over, you're waiting on God to fulfill a dream in your life. I want to say to you, don't give up on your dream. Don't give up on that dream. If you're a parent here today and what you see in the life of your child is not evident, it's not yet visualized in what you see as a dream, don't give up on your child. You keep on dreaming and keep on believing that God can help them to become everything they can become. Oh, my Lord, I feel something right here. Too many parents give up on their kids because they don't see them going the direction they want them to go. Things happen in their life, and they seem to be falling short. But let me remind you, you done came through some stuff in your life. You've been through some junk and some trouble in your life, and God kept his hand on you, and God has brought you to where you are right now. Don't you give up on them. You believe God's going to bring them through. You believe God's going to help them. I don't care what kind of trouble they're in right now. God is bigger than their trouble, greater than their problems, and God can bring them out. So I'm saying to you parents, you don't give up on the dream you have for your children. For every married couple that is here today, don't stop dreaming for your marriage, especially you young couples. Because most young couples haven't been married long enough to know that there's an ebb and a flow to a marriage. They don't know that marriages go through seasons. They think it's supposed to always be springtime. I got news for you. It ain't gonna always be springtime. I got news for you. It ain't gonna always be sunshine and flowers, bees humming and birds singing. It's gonna be some winter every now and then. And you gotta know that your marriage goes through seasons. And there are challenges, different challenges in each season of your marriage. Now, this weekend, my wife and I will celebrate 36 years of marital bliss. Thank you. Thank you. She's been the better half of this thing, so. But in that 36 years of marriage, when we started, we had a dream. Our dream, we was young then, didn't know a whole lot, didn't know any better, but our dream at that time was we just wanted to grow old together. We just wanted to get white hair together. We just wanted to get wrinkles together. You know, we just wanted to share the same cane to get around on, you know. You know, wanted to be able to share each other's false teeth. If, you know, you chew a little bit, give me, I chew. Oh, come on, you, I like you, got all 32 of yours. I know you got some up in there you done bought. Well, like somebody said, if I paid for them, they mine. But our dream was to grow old together. And you say that's not much of a dream. And our dreams have expanded since then. But back then, you know, young and just want to be able to stay together. And I found out that after 36 years of marriage and marriage going through seasons of illness, seasons of discouragement, seasons of automobile accidents, seasons of financial shortages, seasons of just problems and misunderstandings, seasons of hormone changes. That old bad microphone. Where'd that come from? That was an evil Donnie. I found out that when you go through enough seasons in your marriage and you can wake up and still look at the one that you started with, you're grateful. You're thankful. And if you're starting anew because you've been through divorces, if you've been through changes and things in your life through no part of your own, and you just playing the hand that life has dealt you, you run on from where you are right now. You build that dream of a marriage. So I want to say to the married couples, you can build your dream for your marriage. I know I've been kidding it with it and, you know, having a little fun, humor with it, but you build your dream for your marriage. Love life. Live life together. Serve God. Serve one another. Let the blessing of marriage fulfill you in the way that God meant for it to be. For every young person that is here, youth are very impatient with their dreams. They haven't lived life long enough to know that you have to be patient. I remember when my daughter, she graduated from high school and she had her dream of what she wanted to be in life. And she started at San Jack and put in a couple years at San Jack and still hadn't got to her dream. So she went into the Air Force, spent 4 years in the Air Force, still hadn't arrived at her dream. Got out of the Air Force, went back to San Jack. After spending a little more time at San Jack, went over to U of H. And finally, after changing her major, I don't know how many times, I told her, girl, you're just going to be a professional student. You just, you know, you got to find something and stay with it, you know. And finally, after graduating in December, she got her dream job the same month she graduated. And I said, she a dream job because everything that she wanted, I don't know if she's here or not, but I'm telling her story because it just fit well with my talk today. And so, and she's my daughter, and I'm proud of her. But anyway, to make a long story short, young people keep dreaming. She got that dream job. She, as a business analyst with J.P. Morgan, got her own desk. Hold on, wait a minute. Not only does she have her own dad, she has her own direct line. You know you live in the dream when you got your own direct line to your desk. But not only that, after 6 months, she can work remotely from home if she chooses to. She gets to travel. And she told me yesterday that she designed some systems that they're going to be using in the company that will better help the company. And they're going to put her in the newsletter, the upcoming company's news. I said, now you go now. But that was a dream. And there was times that she hit speed bumps in her pursuit of her dream. And she felt like quitting. She felt like giving up. I remember she said, Dad, I just don't feel like. She said, maybe this is not for me. And I said, sweetheart, you got to understand something. That anything you want in life that is worth having, you're going to have to pay a price for it. You're going to have to reach for it. You're going to have to go for it. You just can't sit back and hope it's going to be nice and easy all the time. But you'll be so happy when you get on the other side of the struggle. You just stand. Don't let that kill your dream. Young people, you keep on dreaming. You'll get there if you just don't stop dreaming. And for every one of us that are here today, the more mature ones in life, the more seasoned in life, not senior citizens, but seasoned citizens. We got more years behind us. Then we got in front of us, and the enemy has whispered to you, no need in you still dreaming. It's too late for you. You got more years behind you than in front of you. You might as well give that dream up. You're not going to ever get there. Let me remind you of Brother Moses. Brother Moses was 80 years old when he got his call for his big assignment to go down to Egypt to bring God's people out. 80 years, you're not hearing me, 80 years old. And when most folks of that age are ready for a rocking chair and a bottle of Geritol, Moses is saying, show me what I need to do. God's calling me for a greater purpose. And if you're here today and you got more years behind you than in front of you, let me say your best days are still in front of you. I don't care how many years I got behind me. My best days are still yet to come. I'm not through dreaming just yet. Don't count me out just yet. Just because my hair is getting a little white, don't count me out. Just because my steps are a little slower, don't count me out. I might be pressing the number going up, but I tell you what, don't give me a rocking chair and a bottle of Geritol yet. I still got some things I need to do for God. I still got a dream that hadn't been fulfilled yet. I still got a vision I hadn't stepped into yet. Oh, come on, somebody. Don't you let that devil talk you out of your future, talk you out of your dream, talk you out of your vision. My God, if Moses can start a ministry at 80 years old, don't tell me you can't do something at 60 or 70. My God, I read about a lady that went back to school and she was in her late 70s. Remember Bishop Bismarck said, he knew of a gentleman 70-some years old and became the youth pastor of a church. Yeah, that's what I did too. Can you imagine those teenagers when that 70-some-year-old stepped up there and said, I'm your next youth pastor? Oh, I'm just having fun today. I tell you, I didn't know what kind of form I was going to be in. Let's look at some potential dream killers, and we'll get ready to close this so I can run over to the other building. Some potential dream killers that can keep you from reaching your dreams, fulfilling your visions. These are the archer's arrows that they shoot at you like they shot at Joseph. These are the things that you're going to have to identify, recognize, and overcome if you're to fulfill your dream. When Joseph, Genesis, the 37th chapter, verses 5 and 20, his brothers hated him. The first, and now this is not in necessarily the order that you might encounter these in your life, but some of the closest dream killers to you are family. Can I get a good Baptist nod? Some of the closest dream killers to you are family. Who you think you are? We know who your parents, we know who you are. Joseph got a glimpse into his future, and Joseph felt like, I'm more than herding sheep and cattle. I'm more than living in tents in the desert. His brothers may have been content with that, but Joseph was not content with living in tents in the desert. He was not content with herding old dirty sheep and following cattle all over the hillsides there where they lived at. Joseph had a dream that he was going to be a leader and be in an elevated place. And the first people that started hating on him was his family. These brothers, who do you think you are? You think you better than us. It's always been this way. Everybody in the family's always did this and been like that. Let me say something to you. Just because someone had a father that was a drug addict or alcoholic doesn't mean they have to be a drug addict or an alcoholic. You didn't hear me. Just because they didn't do anything with their life does not mean you can do something with your life. But just because the people around you don't want to come up, don't want to rise up, don't want to do anything with their life, you don't have to stay in shut down mode and live like that. You can come on up and come on out and be everything that God's calling you to become. But you got something on the inside of you that says, my life was meant to matter. I am more than what I see around me. Every one of you that are here today, you feel like greatness is shut up on the inside of you. You don't feel like you tapped into everything that you can potentially be for God or be for those around you. I'm here today to encourage you. Keep on dreaming and don't let the haters keep you from reaching your goals. The pits. They threw him in a pit. A pit is a low place. Genesis 37 and 22. And you're going to have some low places in your life. And low places can come into your life because of betrayal. Somebody can betray you. Boom, throw you into a low place. You can lose a loved one. Somebody close to you, boom, throw you in a low place. You can encounter sickness or illness, boom, throw you into a low place. Financial setbacks, boom, throw you into a low place. You can find yourself in pits or in low place. That's a dream killer. A dream killer, because when you're in that low place, you feel like quitting. You feel like giving up. You feel like the dream is never going to materialize because of the problems that are around you when you are encountering a low place. But you have to know how to come up out of a low place. When you find yourself in a low place, it was Judah who was the first one on the scene to try to get Joseph out of that pit. Judah means praise. Can I get a little churchy on you right now? Yeah, praise is still more than just hand clapping and sweating. Praise is still more than somebody looking at you acting strangely. Praise is something you do in celebration of what God has done for your life. Praise is you opening your mouth and giving God thanks for his ability, divine ability and power working in your life. Every now and then when you find yourself in a low place, sometimes you can't think your way out of a low place. Sometimes you can't scheme your way out of a low place. Sometimes you got to praise your way up out of a low place. When you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, you still got to be able to praise the Lord. You still got to be able to say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I know things don't look real well around me right now, but I still got a praise on the inside of me. You just hang on right now. I'm gonna put on my shouting shoes. I'm gonna put my hands together. I'm gonna get what little bit of voice I got left, and I'm gonna praise my God, because even though I'm in a low place, God is still a good God. God is still a great God. I may not have it all figured out right now, but if I praise God, God's gonna deliver me. God's gonna bring me out. Some of you been in a low place too long. It's time you start praising God. It's time you lift your voice to the Lord. It's time you let the devil know you're not going to shut me down. I will praise the Lord. I will bless his name. I will say he's great and greatly to be praised. Oh, I don't like where I'm at right now, but it's not going to keep my spirit from saying hallelujah. The Lord is good. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I might have cancer in my body, but I'm still going to praise the Lord. I might have been in a car accident, but I'm still going to praise the Lord. I might have financial setback, but you just look out. Praise is coming up out of my spirit. God. I feel like preaching today. I was just going to talk. I feel my hoop coming on. I don't hoop. If you're waiting on a hoop, you're not going to get one. Temptation, compromise. Genesis 39, verses 7 through 10. Joseph's boss's wife set her eyes on him. You're gonna have to overcome the dream killer of compromise. Compromise to sell out your integrity. Compromise to sell out your honesty. Compromise. You're going to have to overcome that. Compromise is a dream killer. And she was reaching for Joseph every day. Hey, she had on the mascara. She had on the false eyelashes. She had the real long ones. But I mean, you could see them fluttering before you get into the room. She was waiting on him as soon as he turned the corner. You know why? Because she was after his integrity. And Joseph said, you know what? I can't do this. I can't do this against my boss, and I can't do it against my God. I got a dream that I'm reaching for. I got a vision. I'm going somewhere, and I don't have time for compromise. Some of you sitting around compromise thinking, how much can I get away with? I'm telling you, killing your dream. You're killing your dream. You got to shut compromise down. Devil whisper in your ear, ain't nobody going to know. Oh, yes, somebody do know. Your dream knows. God knows. And that's enough right there to kill it. Okay, let me go on. Here's a good one. Here's a real good one. Lies and character assassination. Now, I know nobody here has ever had anybody lie on them. The girl lied on Joseph. She just carried on. Oh, he tried to molest me. No, he ain't tried to molest. He's trying to get away from you. People will lie on you. People will talk bad about you. People will slander you. People will shade your character. You're not going to get all likes on Facebook. You're going to get a few dislikes, okay? Turn around to somebody and say, it's all right. And I'm going to tell you why it's all right. Because God's opinion hadn't changed of you because of what somebody said. God still thinks you all that in two bags of chips. He still loves you. And he still has a plan for you. And when somebody lies on you, you got to resist the temptation to get back at them. I know how you feel. You're just, I'll take care of that tone. See, I know some of us, still have parts of us that haven't been altogether redeemed yet. We still got parts of us that's not quite sanctified. And boy, oh boy, you lied on me. You're like John and James. Lord, should we call lightning down on them? You got to resist that temptation. Isolation and depression, thrown into prison. Genesis, the 29th chapter verse. Here's where the enemy tries to rob the dreamer of hope by isolating them, shutting them down. And whenever you're in a place of isolation, hopelessness can creep in. Why keep going? What's the use? You got to work through that to reach your dream. Every now and then, you're going to find yourself in an isolated place in life. You're going to question yourself. You're going to question others. And sometimes you'll question God. Now, let me tell you something about God. God's bigger than our emotional trauma we go through. And just because you don't understand what's going on in your world and you feel all alone and you get upset. I mean, even Job said, if I knew where he was at, I'd come right up to his seat. I grab him by the lapels and say, what's going on, God? Sometimes you feel like that. Let's get real. Life is not always on the mountaintop. There are times we find ourselves in a valley of isolation. People all around us, but sometimes we still feel alone. But God was always there. He's promised, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. I will always be, even when you don't feel me or sense me, I'm watching over you. You're carrying my dream. I'm talking to somebody. I'm talking to somebody. He's there. Genesis 40 and verse 23, the butler had told Joseph, because Joseph interpreted the dreams of the butler and the baker. They came to, excuse me, they came to pass just like he had dreamed or interpreted. The baker was executed. The butler was restored. Joseph said to the butler, when you get back to the king's palace, remember me. Oh, yeah, bro, I got you. Woo, you top of the list, man. Well, a few days pass. No news to Brother Joe down in prison. Few weeks, few months, couple years. Joseph had been forgotten. Have you ever felt forgotten? Have you ever felt like somebody let you down? That's a dream killer. And Joseph had to remind himself of what he had saw and what God had showed him. You need a couple of things if you're going to pursue your dream, and I'm going to shut this down. First of all, God gives favor to the dreamer. You cannot get where you want to get without favor. I know pastors talked about that strongly, but when I was reading and looking at this, Joseph had favor. Genesis, the 39th chapter, verse 4, verse 21, verse 23. Every time Joseph found himself in a situation that could have turned really, really bad, God was with him. God gave him favor. People all of a sudden began to move toward him, were drawn toward him. God wants you to have favor. Dreamers have favor to get to where they're going. You're not at it by yourself. God gives you favor. Favor comes from God, but it comes through people. And then there is also preservation of the dreamer. The dreamer being preserved. Joshua 14th chapter verse 10 through 12, God's ability to keep the dream until the fulfillment of the dream. I have to read this. This is Caleb speaking. Now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, and now I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and coming in. Listen to this. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke. You know what he's saying? Give me my dream. It's time for it to be fulfilled. I've been kept. Caleb had been in wars. He had been in battles with Moses and with Joshua. And God had kept him and preserved him until the fulfillment of his dream. And some of you are in battles. And some of you have been in wars spiritually and so forth. And God has kept you and graced you so that you can step into the fulfillment of your dream. Keep on dreaming. Never give up. Your time will come. Stand with me. I got to quit. They're going to be wondering where I'm at the other place over there. Remember, dreamers, pray to God. Look to God. Listen to God. Write it down. Wait for it. And be encouraged. It will surely come to pass.